Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't gonna lie. I got some cutty last night.
Stop lying. You ain't got no cutty. But your little scrawny ass. If anybody gets some cutty, this house supposed to be me, okay?
Hello, hello, hello. Once again, it's the Tiebreaker Radio Show. It's your man, Shug, man, reporting live. We back for another hot Sunday night. Got some interesting topics, man. I think I'm about a minute late. I don't know how. All right, well, let's get right to the callers. 6011, you're live and connected.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's your boy, Mr. No Street Cred. Just want to start off by saying, my Drake voice, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Shout out to them Heat.
And a mute for the Drake reference. I did get tech, got to hear Drake's album. It was all right. Had some nice beats to it. What's going on, Tay? 8627, your line is open.
Yo, what's good? What's good, fellas? Ready to get this show started? Got a nice, good end to the playoffs, going into the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah, I'm happy to see that. That's what's up.
Yeah, man, big week. And then there were four down to the Cavaliers, the Raptors. Of course, the Warriors and the Thunder, the last four teams remaining in the NBA playoffs. But I want to jump into some different topics today. We had some things happening off the court / field. I kind of wanted to start with the D'Angelo Williams thing. So D'Angelo Williams' daughter won an award, or she got a medal or a ribbon, it was, if I'm reading this right. And he decided it was for participation. She didn't win anything. But he wanted to encourage her to finish first. So, it was for track. So he gave it back to her teachers. I think it was James Harrison that did the same thing a while ago with his son, had a participation trophy for football. But I'm kind of with the athlete here on this part. You know, I would do it for my kid too. I don't really like participation trophies. Do y'all think that participation trophies are good for kids and their, you know, their feelings, their emotions, and or do you think it's just a waste of time? It's just promoting non-exceptionality. We'll start with you, Tay.
For me, yeah. I mean, you know, my original response was bad, because like D'Angelo Williams said in his mini video, was that, you know, it creates a sense of entitlement, you know, which seems to lead to, you know, a kid obviously expecting that they should get something for just basically even participating and not even winning the event. And then I had to put myself in his shoes and really think about it. You know, my son, you know, he hasn't had the luxury just yet of coming in first, second, or third place. And you know, well, he has come in second or first in some place in some events, but it was events where, you know, they really was only given the trophy to the first place winner, and everybody else was basically getting participation, you know, trophies or ribbons or medals or whatever the case may be. So he hasn't, you know, really experienced that championship taste just yet. But at the same time, he has not really been too happy with his participation trophies. And so when I say that, you know, I agree with the whole taking a whole participation trophy medal away and saying, okay, hey, you know, you want to win something, then, you know, you actually have to come in first, second, or third to even win it, to be appreciative of what you've gotten. But when I look at my son's case, he's never been happy with this participation trophy. Like, I've even tried to, like, one time, you know, cheer him up, like, hey, man, like, you got second place. That's what's up. Like, that's good. And he still was like, no, down, didn't want to take pictures and whatnot. So I really think, to sum it all up, it really depends on the child. In D'Angelo Williams' case, his daughter was saying, you know, I won. And he had to explain to her, like, no, you came in fifth, sixth, you know, place. You didn't win anything. Like, since you think won something, you know, let me show you that this does not mean something. You really have to go out there and win it. But in my son's case, he never was happy with it anyway. He was, you know, he's not satisfied until he gets that first place.
Okay. Well, that's a good perspective, you know, especially you still having kids. You know, like I said, I agree wholeheartedly with it. Mike, got kids yet. I don't know if yours probably aren't participating in sports, but how do you feel about participation, ribbons, trophies, or whatever?
I personally never liked it, the participation reward, because D'Angelo Williams was saying, you know, the whole entitlement. He kind of said it more professionally than what I would have said, so I'll just stick with the entitlement line. But I never liked it because it shows that everybody's a winner when everybody's not a winner. I believe the great Ricky Bobby said it first, that if you're not first, then you're last. So, you know, with that aspect to a lot of things, like for the kids, looking at the kids, especially with my kid, my daughter starting, she's about to be six, so we're putting her in, like, sports. She's about to do soccer and swimming this year, gymnastics, and I want to teach her that, you know, of course you want to be the best at what you can be, and if there's other kids that's better than you, you should strive to be better at all times instead of just settling for if you get fifth and sixth and you get a nice little ribbon. I mean, it's really not much. You know, you want to strive to be great.
Yeah, true indeed. I do have to say something. You know, personally, when I was around 13, I was staying with my uncle at the time. I never played baseball before, but he coached the baseball team. I begged him to let me play or at least let me try out, but the season was already underway. He eventually, you know, because I hung out to practices a lot, he let me play the last five games. I was probably the worst baseball player ever. I got teased constantly, but I felt good. I was on the team. I was learning. We actually started playing good in the last couple games. And at the end of the season, you know, I got a participation, you know, medallion or whatever like that. I really wasn't happy about it. You know, I wanted the big trophies like everybody else with the names and the accolades, but as soon as I got it, you know, as soon as they got the chance, the kids made fun of me. So, you know, I don't agree with participation. I don't think it helps kids, like D'Angelo Williams was saying. I don't think it helps them gain that competitive edge or be competitive, or they start, like you get the what Mike was saying, you get those when you're like 4, 6, and 12, and now you think that you're entitled to it. So when you're 13 and 14, I mean, now you have to really lose, and you don't get that participation trophy, and now it's on the parents now to deal with it because their kid is sad. I think it does bad to their, you know, their mental edge. I don't know what I'm going to do with my daughters, though, because I know my daughter's a crybaby, so I don't think I would take the participation trophy away from them, but I would encourage them to try her to try to do better and not just, you know, settle for, like, fifth or sixth place. Anybody got anything else they want to add on to that?
No, not really. I mean,
nope.
Yeah, it really is. It was so.
All right, so from D'Angelo Williams in football, which we always got to throw a little football in there. I want to mix it up, though. You know, let's mix up some football with some basketball. Tay, you brought this up. About the Cam Newton situation. Actually, it drew me to a couple of articles, the one originally by ESPN and one that's by BSO, Black Sports Online. And it compares Cam Newton. We all know Cam Newton, famous for, you know, being a NFL quarterback and also for being one of the most, I guess they say, polarizing figures in how he treats, how he reacts to the media, and how he wins his way. Famous for that walking out on a Super Bowl interview. But, you know, Greg Popovich, we all follow the NBA. We know Greg Popovich is famous for being short. I mean, every time we got a game and they got to do those little after-quarter speeches, he's always short with the reporters. It's like a joke. Like, it's like an ongoing, long-standing joke that Greg Popovich is, for lack of a better word, an asshole towards those things. And it's, you know, but the media enjoys it, you know, as opposed to Cam Newton. Cam Newton's a crybaby. He's spoiled. He's not being a professional, you know. So, you know, it drew me to the article, which compares one as a 27-year-old black man and another one is a 67-year-old white man. So, Tay, since this was your topic, do you think that that's, you know, a fair comparison to compare him to Greg Popovich to say that he does get treated unfairly in the media?
I'm yes and no on that because of the fact that, one, you know, you can't really put Greg Popovich and Cam Newton on the same level. One is, you know, a very well-respected coach in the NBA, and one is, you know, he ain't on that exact same level. You know, he's respected. You know, he's done a little bit, you know, in the NFL, but he ain't put in those years, and he ain't got the, you know, the accomplishments that this particular coach has. So, in respect of being on the same level, they're not really there. But at the same time, you still have to look at the fact that you're being asked questions by the media, questions that you necessarily don't like and you necessarily don't want to answer, and your response to them is being looked at or held in a different light because you're two different people. You know, whether it's a racial thing, you know, whether it's just, you know, the fact that Greg Popovich has been doing this for quite some time and everybody knows him, so everybody's gotten used to it, or, you know, really it's just that, you know, this is brand new with Cam Newton, you know, where he's not really wanting to answer questions or walking off stage and what, you know, whatnot. So, you know, you could look at it two different ways, but I honestly don't think that it's correct. It's really right for Greg Popovich to really to be go ahead and really talk to some of the media the same way that he does, and Cam Newton be able to just walk off stage or, you know, not answer his questions would be short and be scrutinized a lot more harder than Greg Popovich would.
Yeah, I agree. It's not really good to compare them because, again, one's a player, one's a coach, one's older and a more experienced, other one's young and the athletes who learn. And Cam did eventually apologize for walking out of that, saying he could have acted better. But, again, there may be some sort of, you know, I'm always one to at least explore the race card because it's there, you know, whether people like to downplay it or not. But, Mike, that BSO article that I looked at, it also referenced LeSean McCoy as opposed to Rob Gronkowski. LeSean McCoy had a private event celebration back in a few months ago, and he was slammed all over the media for just wanting to have a party with majority women. But Gronkowski has an all-women football booze camps and party buses that ESPN sends reporters to cover. So, you know, it is that double standard. I mean, you can see it live. You don't know if they're doing it on purpose, it's on accident. But, you know, since sometimes accidents, you know, that doesn't take away from being racial or being wrong. You know, how do you feel about this so-called double standard?
It's a kind of a tricky situation, I think. I think the race card gets thrown a lot, but if you look at a lot of things as far as, like, comparing Gronk to LeSean McCoy, like, the difference is Gronk's a winner, but LeSean McCoy, he's not winning. So regardless whether it was black or white, like, you know what I mean, if it was a white person,
so you think,
and they didn't
so you think, do you think, do you think that Gronkowski would get treated like LeSean McCoy if he was losing, if he was, like, not on the Patriots?
I mean, there's a possibility that he wouldn't, but then do you see, like, the highlight videos where Gronkowski is out doing all of this, like, when they're not winning or when he's in season, like, far as,
yeah.
Like, I mean, I look at it more like a job. Say what?
No, I say, yeah, I did. Remember he had that video where he was dancing, he had his arm in the cast after he broke his arm. I was supposed to be on injured reserve. He was drunk partying in the club.
I mean, I guess it's true. You know, I didn't really read the article about the LeSean McCoy part. I was kind of on the Cam Newton pop. But, I mean, just from my aspect of it, of watching, like, both players play, like, they're both decent players, but even when it comes down to it, like, I guess you could use the race card on that one. Compare LeSean McCoy to Gronk, but on the other one, I don't see how you can use the race card when it comes to popping Cam Newton.
Yeah, because, I think Chris just called back in. Hold on, I'm sorry, my bad. I'm telling him to call back in. I hear you, Mike. Keep going.
Oh, yeah, because, like, like Tay was saying with the Pop, like he's an older guy, but you know, you've seen him win and you also seen him lose, and he acted like that the same way. But when Cam was winning, he was full of conversation. But when Cam lost, you know, he was just a sore loser. And I think that's a big difference comparing Cam to Pop versus, like, when you're comparing LeSean McCoy to Gronkowski. And, like, you know what I mean, Gronkowski, he's been in the scene. Like, that's just been what he's been doing since he came in the league. Like, you've been seeing him partying since he got money, whereas LeSean McCoy has been kind of quiet here or there.
Has
like,
he been quiet?
Now, since, I mean, he just came out more recently when Chip Kelly came and, you know, he got traded and everything. It's when I really started to hear more about LeSean McCoy with partying and using the race card, and everything has something to do with this as far as, like, wrong word.
All right, hold that thought real quick. Hold that thought. Let me get Chris right in here, man. Make sure that he's back in the line. What's up, Big C? 6044, man. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for letting me back in, man. Back by popular demand. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good, man. Good, man. We're having a decent conversation with my man Mike about Cam Newton and Greg Popovich, the difference between how we, you know, judge these two, how they react to the media. Chris, I know you know how Greg Popovich be responding to these reporters when they give them little halftime speeches, even after the game, in the press conferences, after wins and losses, you know, how much of an asshole he can be. Do you think that he is treated differently, like with a different respect than, man, let's say maybe a Cam Newton, who usually is joyous when he's talking to reporters but has one, you know, moment. You know, Mike said it was something between, like, the difference between winning and losing. I happen to disagree. What do you really think it is, Chris?
Yeah, I heard a little bit of the conversation. I don't know if it's necessarily between winning and losing. I think particularly with Greg Popovich's situation, it's a little bit of race, but it's also a little bit of experience card, too, because he has been in the game that long, you know, and he has done this before. So he's built up a repertoire with reporters that he just said, that's Greg Popovich. Now, is race still involved? I think so, because even if Cam Newton down the line was still good again, he was still treated harsher than Greg Popovich, in my opinion. So I think it's a little bit of experience, but it's also that race card.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind that, because it is, you know, there, you know, everything is not exactly black and white. You know, there is a gray area, but things exist, and you do have to. Race affects us all day. As long as we live in the United States of America, race is going to play a factor. And you'll know when that day comes when it's not going to play a factor and it's going to be a whole lot different. Good points on that. I did want to speak on another topic here while we were still on that. Moving on, or staying rather with basketball. What was that last? I'm sorry. Changing something right now. Oh, there we go. Yeah, so Steph Curry won his second MVP. It was the first unanimous MVP since when? I forget when. But the first unanimous MVP for a long time, or the first overall. Not even Jordan got a unanimous MVP. Not Kobe, not Tim Duncan, not Iverson, anybody. It was Steph Curry in his second of back-to-back. There were talks of Charles Barkley and Tracy McGrady, who said that this was, you know, even though they were congratulating him, they were saying that this was an example of the league being watered down. And I think I kind of understand where they were coming from as far as everything not being. I mean, you compare Steph Curry to Michael Jordan. Now, we all know how Mike dominated the league when he was in the league, and you're saying that he didn't get, of all those MVPs, he didn't get a unanimous MVP. Yeah, again, it was the first ever unanimous MVP. What do y'all think about that? Excuse me. We'll start with Chris. The newcomer on the show, man. How do you think T-Mac and Charles Barkley are right? You think that this, you know, this is an example of the league being watered down, Steph Curry getting that next MVP?
Oh, first I'm going to start off by saying this is my personal opinion, but with the folks I've been around, yeah, I'm wanted to say, yeah, the league's been, I don't know if it's necessarily been watered down, but when you compare it back to different eras, which is always an oxymoron because people always want to argue how you're going to judge something in a different era, this era. Yeah, man, Jordan or something like Charles Barkley or something like that, they were knocked around a lot better. Now, cats nowadays, you know, you have playoff scuffles, but it's not as hard. You ain't getting hit in the mouth as much as you did back in the day. So I'm just curious. I'm not gonna speculate. I'm just curious on how Steph Curry would react back in the day when they hit him with the Jordan rules, where, you know, he drives the lane and he gets smacked in his mouth. We saw a little bit of that with the beginning of the Houston Rockets game, with your boy, if I'm correctly from wrong, Beverly or something, homeboy's name. When he went at Steph Curry, kind of a bit of rough in the first game, and we saw how Steph Curry reacted along with that, and he got mad, and he went off his game for a little bit. So I just want to see like a whole series of that, and then you know we can talk. But if it kind of watered down to me, yeah, I would say so.
Tay, league watered down, man, or is this the best NBA we ever had, man? Do you agree with Tracy McGrady and Charles Barkley?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I didn't really catch so much of Charles Barkley's comments, but I definitely did catch Tracy McGrady's. I read the article and saw the video. And, you know, and him just saying that, you know, in the Eastern Conference, when you look at superstars, you, the only people that you really, you know, bring up in a conversation really are LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, which, you know, when I really started to think about that, when you know, if you really want to count a superstar right now, yeah, them really are the two that you name it. I mean, you could try to throw my boy Carmelo in there, but he ain't really did that in quite a few years. So that superstar tag really kind of falls off at this moment. You know, he's really honestly an all-star at best at right now. But, you know, I definitely do feel like it is a little bit watered down. But is that really a product of you know, just the talent that's coming into the league, or is that also some type of product of what the NBA is setting when it comes to the rules that they're making? You know, the league is the way it is now because of the fact that them changing rules. You can't just hard foul somebody like you used to back in the day and then just get away with it and the refs be cool. No, you're going to catch a fine the next day, you know, or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, people can't fault the league for the way it is today because it's not the player's fault that they're taking more precautions to, you know, trying to stop, you know, violence from being more so often or, you know, promoting it or whatever the case, or players getting injured. So for that fact, yeah, I mean, once the league is watered down, then, I mean, you're 100% correct. But is that the player's fault? No, not really. But as far as also just, you know, being superstars in the league right now, I mean, if you really want to say somebody's on LeBron James level in the East, I mean, the only person really going to say is really Dwayne Wade. I mean, right now, like I said, Carmelo, maybe Paul George.
But he can't
Paul
get
George
a team up
anywhere.
There, PG.
Right.
PG,
you know, yeah,
I say
exactly.
PG, though.
Right, PG is, I would say he on LeBron James' level, but, you know, he ain't really been anywhere to really say, yo, you a superstar. Like, I mean, had he not had that injury, I think he'd have a very good chance of being on that level at this moment because he wouldn't have missed, you know, as much time as he did. But right now, it's really good. Wayne Wade and LeBron James.
Wow. So, Mike, I know how you, speaking of the Heat and Dwayne Wade going fishing, Mike, how do you feel, man? You think the league is watered down, really, man? Or you think that they just, you think this is all just complaining, maybe jealousy or anything?
I believe the league is a little watered down compared to old eras, like young Big C was saying. Compared to other eras, it is watered down, but also, like Tay was saying, it all is the NBA's fault because of the changes of the rules. So the players just play to how they're supposed to be played legalized. Like, you can't foul, like he was saying, you can't have a Ron Artest on your team just throwing blows compared to like you could back in the day. And so that would make some the game watered down and makes the game flow better, and where you can have positions to do open shots and you can embarrass somebody and get a NBA 3-point shooting record on teams. Like, you could do things like that because, like, you don't have that person that knock somebody out for embarrassing me and my team. But also, you got to look at it too, like, is watered down, but the players that's playing now are also like different hybrids of what the players that was before. A lot of them are bigger and stronger in the positions that they are in. So to say, like to hear from like Tracy McGrady, even though he was good as a superstar in the position that he was back when he played, to hear from him to say it's watered down compared to certain players that he played against a lot of these players, and he knows that like the way that the game is played, that they are faster and stronger than, you know, what he was used to back in the day against average players. And like Young Tay was also saying, you know, D Wade is one of the superstars, and I also want to point out that LA didn't even make it to the boat to go fishing. So yeah, that's about it.
You're mad. So in response, I'm not gonna respond to the LA thing, but thanks for asking. But I just want to respond to this because all of y'all saying that it's rule changes. Everybody's agreeing that the league is watered down, but y'all saying it's rule changes. Maybe the two of y'all said the flagrant fouls. When I was reading the articles, what T-Mac and Charles Barkley was saying, I think T-Mac said something, and then Charles Barkley went more into depth into it. T-Mac was basically saying it was more superstars, better teams back then, more stars on more teams. And I thought about it because my argument to people all the time is that this era of players has a lot more superstars, a lot more special players. And I'm going to have to agree, it kind of swayed my mind on something because there were a lot stronger teams. No, it wasn't more individual players, but you didn't have players like James Harden, you know, on the team that were just like, there was no James Harden. The only James Harden in the NBA was Michael Jordan, and he was a lot more efficient and he was hard to stop. If a player back then shot the amount of times that James Harden did and had the amount of minutes that James Harden did and played no defense like James Harden did, he wouldn't be playing in the NBA. He couldn't be part of the NBA first team. We got 90 seconds to the end of the show, so I'm going to try to finish it up on my comment, then we're going to open the line for everything else. Like I said, he wouldn't be on the team. Coaches have more effect on, you know, whether a player plays or not based on his performance, you know, really back then. I think teams are a lot thicker. Charles Barkley was saying mostly about he was blaming it on young kids, a lot of high school players coming out of the draft, you know, Kwame Browns and things like that. Other players that, you know, teams take chances on because they're touted, because we look so much into these players as they're coming out of high school and 1 year of college, and they overproject them, overplay them, and you got sometimes teams putting their whole, you know, city's, you know, grief on this player's back to perform and live up to the hype. You know, you have your LeBron James and your Carmelo Anthony's to do that, but, you know, back then it wasn't just about one player. It was more so about the teams, and I think the teams have gotten to, they're more about individual players, you know. And like I said, yes, I did use Kwame Brown as a reference to, like Charles Barkley was saying, a lot of these high school players coming out and playing basketball. He was a number one overall pick, and he couldn't play basketball. And he got paid number one overall pick money, but he didn't help none of the teams that he played on do anything. So I'd have to agree with Charles Barkley and Tracy McGrady to say that the league is watered down. Not that Steph Curry didn't deserve that MVP, but there's no way that with all of these stars in the league, Durant, Russell Westbrook having the year that he had, LeBron James being as consistent as he is, there's no way he's the unanimous MVP. Nobody gave anybody else a first-place vote. It is a testament to how watered down the league is. And, again, you got the writers. These are sports writers that vote for the MVP. So I don't agree with the rule changes. I think players adapt to those rules. You know, the league is going to change, but I think it's watered down more so because of basically a lot of young players don't know how to play the game correctly. So you have a lot worse teams than it was in the NBA a long time ago, you know. Anybody else have anything else to add? Like, for instance, the Lakers. There was no 16 and whatever Lakers back then. I mean, even though the Lakers have some young talent on this team, that team wouldn't have been, you know, a lot of those players, they wouldn't have seen the floor. You know, Byron Scott was right for holding a lot of those players back. And, you know, back then in the 90s, you didn't just get played because you was a top pick. You were getting paid top pick money. Go on. Let me see. I got Chris line open, 6044. Chris, go ahead and tell me what you think, man. Give me something to add on to that watered-down league. Do you really think Steph Curry deserved that MVP?
I mean, first off, let me start by saying I'm not trying to take anything away from Steph Curry. Like, I think Kay and I think Mike illustrated earlier, I mean, the players nowadays are just playing in the league. They, you know, they're dealing with what they dealt, the cards they dealt. So I'm not taking a shot to them, but as compared to, you know, stuff back in the past, even now, me personally, I don't think Curry should have got the MVP over someone like LeBron. Because we talked about this earlier in the week. It depends on what your definition of MVP is. Are you thinking about the most proficient scorer in the league or the best stats? Are you thinking about the person that, okay, if you take this player away from this team will not even make the playoffs. This team will struggle. And if I'm going with the second option, which I tend to base the MVP off of, I don't think that's Curry, because as the Warriors are proving, you know, in the playoff now, even without Curry, they can still go far. So I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't deserve it, but by my definition of MVP, I don't think he earned it this season.
I agree.
I don't.
I know. I mean,
but would you like to explain that?
I'll let Tay go first. He goes down. He started, so. But go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, I completely agree with what, you know, Chris said, man. I mean, it's really just all about your, you know, definition of MVP. You know, I've argued this probably with y'all. Y'all probably really don't even really remember, but, like, every year I argue the whole valuable aspect because I pretty much don't agree with who they picked as the MVP last year. I thought Westbrook should have got it, and I thought he should have got it really just for the triple-doubles alone. And the fact that, you know, he was carrying his team by himself with Durant being injured, and you can't, you know, take that away from that man. Like, that is value right there. He was holding his team and carrying his team, and without him and Kevin Durant, his team wouldn't have went nowhere. And that's why I think about the same thing with LeBron. Like, and somebody, matter of fact, I was on social media, I think, like yesterday, and somebody had posted something and said, you know, hey, I never even thought about this, but they said that if you would have took LeBron James or Steph Curry and put them on the team right now that sucks, you know, which team would immediately have success? And they said that basically, I don't know if it was really trying to be funny or not, but they said that it would be LeBron James because immediately they would have traded two of the players off that team for another superstar. And so, like, I laughed at it, you know, but, I mean, at the same time, it was like, yo, for real, like, I mean, value, like, it's a lot of value in LeBron James, and not to take anything away from Steph Curry, you know, breaking the three-point record, you know, with most threes made, you know, for the team making the 73 wins, not trying to take anything away from him. Like, you know, that is, you know, worthy of, you know, at least a look, you know, for the MVP vote. But at the same time, man, like, value, man, who is, like, we're looking at the most valuable player. Steph Curry is not the most valuable player because, like Chris said, you know, like I had said, his team was able to carry on without him. The Cavs, not so much.
So bottom line, Steph Curry is not the MVP. So LeBron is this year.
In my opinion, it will be either LeBron or Westbrook would be two of the people that I would be my top two.
Okay. Michael Dennis Holmes, you said emphatically no, really, Steph Curry is not the MVP. My man Diego.
I believe. That works better. I listen to what everybody was saying, and I do understand the difference between best player and valuable player, but it's like if you look at, we had the same argument last year before Steph Curry got it, because it was between, everybody thought it was going to be between James Harden and Russell Westbrook because they had all those triple-doubles and they were winning for their teams with just them. Like, nobody was looking at Steph Curry last year. They were looking at him, but they wasn't looking at him like they looked at him this year. like last year, they were saying how Westbrook was the player because he put his team on his back. And that was last year. And I understood that for last year, for that argument for those two. And now Steph Curry did win. Okay. But also, but when you come back to this year, like, you know, I understand what you're saying about if you put a different player on each team, like, you know what I mean, it would do something different. And I hate to say it, like, because I really do like LeBron James, but he's not a good example, because if you put LeBron James on any team, the team is still going to make it to the playoffs, and most likely they're going to make it to a finals if they're on the right side of the East or the West. So, like, LeBron James, he's the ultimate valuable player. He might, because he's the best player in the league for this era of NBA. But, like, when you compare him to, like, Westbrook, he had all those triple-doubles, and I do understand, and he held it down for his team. But Steph Curry also broke records. He broke numbers. But he also held it down for his team, too, because, like, granted, when he didn't play, his team did play well also. But, like, the teams that they were playing weren't, like, great teams. They were playing, like, trashy teams. Not trashy teams, but average teams in the watered-down league that we talk about.
They played every team that – I was saying they played every team that the Cavs play in the NBA, basically, and they play in the West. Listen, I'm going to say this.
Exactly, but the Cavs, like, if you look at the Cavs, you take away LeBron James, and they were losing to random teams because they're an average team if you take away LeBron James. If you take away Steph Curry, they're still an average team without Steph Curry. Granted, that the games that he didn't play, they won because it was strategically that the games he didn't play were against not the greatest teams in the NBA.
So you think they don't win?
You say what?
So you take Steph Curry away from the Warriors, you think they don't win, what, 50 or 60 games?
No, they don't. Well, 50 maybe, not 60. Nowhere near 60.
I don't even.
You
I
take
don't
Steph
think
Curry,
in 60
you take
games.
Steph Curry
I think
away from,
win like 50.
You take Steph Curry from the Golden State, you got the Atlanta Hawks, basically.
Wow.
No.
Wow.
That,
the wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, the
no
top
more further
in front
of
the
East.
League.
Is on the timeout. The number two.
All right.
The number two man in triple doubles for the year is on the Warriors, and he's not Steph Curry. The second rated shooter in the NBA in 3-pointers and field goal percentage for a guard is on the Warriors, and he's not named Steph Curry. They do have the coach of the year on the team. They do have Sean Livingston, who was a number one overall pick, well, top 10 pick, a lottery pick. They also have Harrison Barnes, who was a lottery pick. I mean, this team is loaded. So, Andre Iguodala, who's an all-star.
Who
team
is
USA,
a starter.
Let me rephrase the question to Mike. Do you think they make the playoffs without Steph Curry?
Mike.
Say that one more time. I was muted.
I said, do you think they make the playoffs without Steph Curry?
Yes.
Well, would you think the Cavs will make the playoffs without LeBron?
No.
Do you think the Thunder will make the playoffs without Westbrook?
Yes.
No.
That's debatable, but okay.
Is Kevin Durant injured?
No, but I don't think Kevin Durant does it by himself.
I mean, last year, Russell Westbrook was one game away from doing it by himself.
Right.
Man, Russell
Thunder,
Westbrook,
the
but
Thunder, I'm talking
man,
about the importance of Russell Westbrook. You're proving my point. But go ahead.
I agree with Chris. And let me say this, though. The Cavaliers and the Thunder depend on Russell Westbrook and LeBron James both in the same way. And that's a little bit too much. Russell Westbrook pretty much sets the offense. He sets the tone on defense, and as does LeBron James. They do it from a different position. But, I mean, I don't think anybody would disagree. They pretty much play the same dang on way, except that Russell Westbrook has to play with Kevin Durant, and LeBron James is surrounded with shooters, other different type of players to support his skills. I agree. I don't think that the Cavs make the playoff. I think in the East they got a chance at an 8 seed or 7 seed. The Thunder in the Western Conference without Russell Westbrook, you have to find another great point guard in order for the Thunder to make the playoffs without Russell Westbrook. The Golden State Warriors, they're a top 4 seed. They're going to have home court advantage in the first round, whether it's 1, 2, 3, or 4 without Steph Curry. They're going to do that. They're going to do that. They're that good a team, and it's more so a how they play. They're kind of like, I want to say almost like the Spurs. The Spurs were constructed so that Tim Duncan was the heart and soul of the team, but if Tim Duncan went down, the Spurs could still function. Now the Lakers, Shaq and Kobe was the motor to the team. And if one was down, you know, the other could probably keep up for them, but both of them was out. The Lakers are, you know, trash. You know, it's just I just think that the Warriors are just one of those teams, and all the other teams, because they have everything. You know, they have the coaching, they have the culture, they have the talent, they have the players, and they have the chemistry. No other team can rival that besides the Spurs. So I think that does take away a little bit from what Steph is as valuable.
Agreed.
Tay, anybody else got something to say about that? Let's talk about this conference final action that's about to happen, Western Conference and Eastern Conference, since we finally got the team. The Sixers in the building. Views, Mike. Too bad it ain't the view ain't going to be from Miami, right?
Say what? I'm not going to go there. Everybody gets their turn.
Shots fired.
I know.
Man, come
it's
on!
Cool.
I pick Miami win.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, Mark, please explain.
We had injuries. I can't complain. We got far for what we had. Hey, that happens. Some people win, some people lose. You feel me?
Oh man! You sound like y'all in the game press conference.
You say what?
I like the end of the game press conference right now. So how you think you did? Well, you know, we have some injuries. You know, some teams win,
hey.
Some teams lose.
I think that's the same. Mm. That's the same. That's the same interview the Cavs had last year. So.
Right back at you.
Well,
yeah, last year though. Time to take that old dusty trail, huh?
That trail that Miami's taking right now.
Mm. Get that boat started up.
Right. Catch me some tilapia while you out there, Mike.
You say what?
Catch me some tilapia while you out there.
All right, so how y'all see these conference finals going? We got 1 minute left. We got Thunder versus Golden State. What y'all think about that? Golden State all the way.
I think the Thunder got lucky.
Oh, lucky! I told y'all six before the playoffs started. I told you if the Thunder placed the Spurs, Thunder in six. I told y'all that. I don't know how y'all ain't see that coming.
I was talking about the Golden State and Thunder.
Well, no, I was saying because Tay said he didn't see. He said the Thunder got lucky, so I was saying I don't know how I caught it.
What's your track record right about now? Who's calling games?
Hey man, look, you ain't got to be a hater your whole life.